We make a wee start. Okay, I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except for councillors considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphone is working as a queue system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting this evening. Okay, folks, you're all very welcome this evening. Glorious sunny evening, so we'll make a start. Has anyone any declarations of interest? Okay, I have apologies this evening from Councillor Devlin, Councillor Declan Murphy, and Councillor Kate Murphy. Any other apologies?
Yeah, apologies. Councillor Jackson. Sorry, sir. Yeah, apologies for Councillor Lewis as well.
Okay, we'll move on then to item number 3 on your agenda, which is the action sheet arising from Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 22nd of April. So we'll go through it page by page. Page 1 and page 2. Can I propose and seconder? Proposed by Councillor Siobhan O'Hare, seconded by Councillor Finn. Okay, so we'll move on to item... Any matters arising, sorry? Okay. Item number 4 on your agenda this evening is the Strategic Stakeholder Forum, partnering with the community voluntary sector to achieve better outcomes. I'm delighted to welcome Rosemary MacDonald from Citizens Advice and Nicholas McCrickard from County Down Road Community Network here this evening, who are going to deliver a wee presentation. Delighted to have you. So I'll stop talking, you can start. All right.
Okay. First of all, thanks very much for inviting us along. Both Nicholas and myself, for our sins, are the co-chairs of the Strategic Stakeholder Forum. And I'll just sort of take you through what the vision is for ourselves, is to coordinate, communicate and engage with the priorities of the voluntary community sector, community planning and other wide issues for the newly Moreland Down District Council area on an ongoing basis. We were formed in 2016 and it was a very interesting exercise, and I always say give credit to the council for this. They saw that there was a niche for the community voluntary sector to have a say within community planning. And so they commissioned a consultant to come in and worked with a number of us, and hence the birth of the Strategic Stakeholder Forum. I know that a lot of other council areas actually come to ourselves and ask us how it operates, and they don't operate or engage maybe the extent that we do in this area. So, as I say, it was in hindsight, it was a very good idea. We have 28 community voluntary organisations, and thankfully, really post-COVID, we've seen that quite a number of the other organisations are wanting to come on board so that they feel that they're part of the community and voluntary sector and that they can contribute towards community planning. We've had about 5 or 6 new members last year, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's set it up to involve community involvement at all local levels. I still think we have a bit to go in that, but I do think we've made a good start. And Nicholas will go through some of the issues and things that we dealt with during COVID. But I think COVID allowed probably council officials, because we would have been part of the community coordination hub as a result of COVID, and they began to see we can adapt very quickly, and how we can work together, and how we have people that we can very quickly say, well, no, that person in that area is good to talk about that, and we can break some of the bureaucracy down that unfortunately you have to go through. So, as I say, it really showed how we can be involved, and part of it is to going forward, I really firmly believe we are in a budgeting crisis. There's less money, and there has to be more partnerships. So therefore, I think the involvement of the community voluntary sector will be important going forward. Nicholas is, we've represented on the working groups, all the community work, community planning working groups, DEA forums. I know there's been some changes in and around that, I'm looking at that forum, but the members are very keen to engage and to engage in all the different areas across community planning. Nicholas here is currently the chair of the Community Planning Partnership Board. And we are an anchor organisations, but organisations there have been there a long time, have good track records and many years of experience. And I think that's very important. We're not blow-in, blow-out organisations. We have come a long way. A lot of it began in grassroots level. So you're coming from the bottom and you're moving that up to the top. So that's important. And if you just go to the next slide for me. Just an example of some of the strategic stakeholder members. We have NIMAI, we have Community Transport, we have Action for Children, Ballinahinch Counselling, Volunteer Now, Southern Asian Well Partnership. There's a number there you see, Rural Health Partnership. So they're wide ranging, some with small membership and some with a larger membership with larger service users. So it's about coming together and working together. And I have to say, you know, we learn from each other within the partnership, and then hopefully then we can take that forward when we're working with council going forward. So I'd like to hand you over to Nicholas, who will go through some of the work that we have been involved in.
Thanks, Rosemary. Thanks, Roisin, as well, for the invite tonight. Just, I'll not labour it, but we, the Strategic Stakeholder Forum, as we came into its own, as Rosemary says, during the COVID pandemic, and then, you know, it's like everything else, you wait for one bus to come along, and there was loads of buses come along. We had a cost of living crisis. We had various other crises in the last few years. The Strategic Stakeholder Forum, all the major networks and charities in the Newry-Morne-Down area, we were straight into operating, working with our local member groups, all of the local clubs and community organisations, but more importantly, or as important, working with the council on the community coordination hub. And during that period of COVID in particular, we were out there helping to coordinate and deliver 18,500 food boxes and around £76,000 of money that came through from the Department for Communities through yourselves to the networks and the Strategic Stakeholder Forum. And all of the members were part of a, what we call a trusted partner scheme, and that included social workers and GPs and others. And we coordinated all of that and were able to deliver money into people's pockets. But then, as I say, the cost of living crisis came along. DFC stepped up again, and again through the council automatically came straight to the Strategic Stakeholder Forum and said, you're our ears and eyes on the ground. Can you help us out with delivering some of the hardship funds? So alongside DEA officers and our own staff, we were addressing all sorts of poverty, including digital poverty, getting devices, laptops and tablets and so on into families that maybe needed it for homework and so on. And then in recent times, in last year, in fact, we set up the social supermarket. Again, DFC funding coming through council and coming and talking to the local community organisations. A lot of other councils, you know, in many cases put that out to tender, or there were big debates and rows in the local community sector about who should be doing what. In Newry-Morne-Down, so far over the last 6 to 8 years, we have avoided competition and fighting about and who's leading on what by simply working together, cooperating with each other, and we trust and know each other well enough to do that. And we know your own officers, and that does help, that relationship helps. We put together a recovery and renewal publication, and you can get a copy of that if you want. Simple wee document, just sort of explaining how the community and voluntary sector, if it's organised in a council area, if it's working with its local council, it can also work across government. So that, in many ways, is we feel at the minute is gaining traction with the Department for Communities. They are already talking to us potentially about working on local initiatives that cross government, not just restricted to one government department. I'll come back to that in a wee while. And then one of the other ideas that have come out in recent years, a 6-year project of social prescribing, it's true to say that most GPs would tell you that they don't need to prescribe a tablet for every ill. People need to get, if people are lonely, depressed, so physically or mentally in difficulties, they can be prescribed a social prescription, if you like, which is a community solution. Get involved with the local community, get involved with the local clubs, and get out for a walk or get into a personal development course or whatever. We have been doing that under the auspices of the Social Strategic Stakeholder Forum. And I want to come back to the, there's a potential pilot for a bigger version of that in the South East Trust in the near future. And the final, challenges, right? So without sort of crying poor man all the time here, you know yourselves, there's an unprecedented demand for services, for community services, and for all of your services as well lately. The country has never seen as much distress in families and in among our communities. And combined with that, there's falling income. All of the charities that are involved in our Strategic Stakeholder Forum have felt the pressure of fallen budgets, and in many cases, many of us have had a couple of really bad years. We had a couple of really good years during COVID. There was actually extra money came through that helped us, and we're now just about surviving, and in many cases we're in deficit these last 2 years and forecasting another bad year ahead. So sustainability and full cost recovery is, among all charities in Newry Morning Down, is really difficult to achieve. And the uncertain job prospects, if you're trying to advise your kids what sector to work in, it's probably not going to be the local community and voluntary sector, because you're into very short-term contracts. 6 months to a year of a contract is about as much as we can offer. That makes recruitment difficult. Having said that, there are very flexible and rewarding ways of working in the community sector, and we're always looking, again, as a Strategic Stakeholder Forum, at ways to improve encouraging people to get involved. You get involved in your local community as a volunteer. You may get a job in a local network or local charity. That could lead you on to the public sector. It leads you into classes and activities that might improve your own education and academic qualifications as well. And then just another challenge is increasing mental health issues in the population. I don't have to preach to you guys about that. And we see it every day, and we are involved in all sorts of, in the Prevent Life implementation groups and in the the suicide prevention groups and whatnot. So we do see the potential epidemic that's coming down the track at us there, especially in young people under 18. I think that's an unmet need as well. But to keep it upbeat, we're looking at opportunities. Maybe I'll let Rosemary jump in and we'll do this as a double act, yeah. I suppose.
I think, you know, the trust of good relations across the community voluntary sector, statutory partners, especially during Morning Down, COVID has really done that for us. And being part, Nicholas and I attend the partnership board meetings where you have the trusts attending the education boards. And they're beginning to see, because there is a report done in our work as well, and we were able to feed back in. So they have an understanding of what is happening, you know, on the ground. And I think that's something that we really need to build upon, to develop that and ensure that stays the same. Because one of the fears, I suppose, for some of it is, I can see it a little bit, not this area, but another aspect, where departments are starting to go back into silos a little bit. And I think it's important that they keep the doors open and keep, you know, working across, as opposed to say, well, hold on. And I have seen it myself in my own role as civil servant, I have to say, where it's now, well, that's okay, we don't really need you now, you know what I mean? This is, it's all online, it's all this, we're taking away, there's only going to be so many people in an office. So I think it's important that we build and sustain and grow what we have in that, you know what I mean? And I think the response to emergency trends, that's one of the values of the community voluntary sector. It's very flexible. You just wrap the door and you say to somebody, it's like local communities, listen, such and such a thing needs done, everybody rallies around. And I think that's really important. And we can respond. And I would like to think that part of it is to, again, with government and local government, that if there's an opportunity coming along, talk to the people in the community voluntary sector. Quite often they maybe are doing this or seeing it or know a way around it that it can be done in conjunction. So it definitely is the response and the flexibility of the skilled working force to meet local need. You'd be surprised at what some of the skills are within the local community voluntary sector then. So I'll just hand over to
I suppose just continuing that same trend, like we would argue that the community voluntary sector can adapt more efficiently and at lower cost in many cases the public sector. And I have to commend Uri Morning Down Council. I'm not blowing smoke here. It is true to say that you do tend to try and delegate where you can local contracts and local activities to local organisations. Doesn't always happen, and you many times procurement and council procurement as well means that the work goes way outside the district, especially sort of stuff like that requires management consultants and whatnot. It tends to go way outside the district. We would just urge you to always look locally for opportunities to try. We sometimes have to say no. The local charities and the local networks maybe don't have the capacity. We'll be up front and say we can't do that. But if you can, you can turn to us and ask if we can carry out some of that work. It keeps money local. It encourages that idea of building shared prosperity. And I'm trying to think of the term. Community wealth building, right, Alan's right. And just want to see Alan there, just remember that part of this, and I think part of the presentation needs to get across this idea of the community planning. And that takes it into can and does work collaboratively across government and councils. Community planning is not working very well at the minute, but it has the potential to work well if we can get government departments to share resources and actually move budgets around a bit. As a rule, they tend to hold onto their own budgets, and it's all working in silos. Sometimes through neutral partners like the community and voluntary sector, they can start to shift budgets a bit more. So we need to do more of that. And I'll say this, and maybe Rosemary can wrap up at the end. The Department for Communities, Department of Health, Trusts, this is just one that I'm working on at the minute. They appear willing to pilot projects at the minute. With the community and voluntary sector, and they are trying things in places like Auchnacloy and in the what I think in the Derry, it's in Derry, some part of Derry. But they are talking about potentially trying something in our area if we can come up with a project that requires cross-departmental working. And one of the things we're looking at again is trying to help the rollout of multidisciplinary teams in the local GP practices. A bit of that social prescribing that I was talking about earlier, and there seems to be a willingness to allow the community voluntary sector to do a bit more work in that area. So what's this space? I'll report back to Andy and the team if that comes to pass. We're in the middle of that at the minute. Rosemary, do you want to wrap up?
No, I think there's an opportunity. Any questions anybody wants to ask, and we'll do our best to answer.
Well, thank you on behalf of the committee. I know Nicholas and Rosemary, thank you so much for that. It was very informative. The work that you do is unreal. I know we all know that it's going on, but like that, even just to hear the passion stuff from the both of you there this evening, it's great. I suppose we all know, or we all seen probably any of us were here during COVID firsthand, like the work, the response that was unreal, and the coordination of that within council was just, that's whenever you see these things rolling out and working really, really well. Whenever you see the list of groups there, and then, you know, I know personally myself within my own DA, you know the work that they do in the community. We couldn't manage without them and within our community. And I suppose I see social prescribing 6 years ago whenever I was just first co-opted. I remember going to Millbrook and meeting, I think, Rosemary yourself, like after the first time. And whenever you see it now, the social prescribing and the MDT team, I know within our own area of Castle Island, sort of Newcastle, that what it provides is just, and you know, the services you get there, it's fantastic to see, but it does need to be more and it does need to be built on, you know. So, look, I'm more than happy to let others in. I'm talking here. Does anyone else have any other questions or comments? Councillor Mather?
Yeah, thanks, Roisin. Just to commend the work that you guys are doing, you know what I mean? Seeing it at first hand in the Newry DEA, the fantastic work carried out. And I want to mention particularly the social supermarket. I know Raymond Jackson who talks about that at our meeting. So well done. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Minister.
Anyone else looking to come in? Councillor Finnegan?
Yeah, I don't want to rehash anything that has been said. I just want to say thanks very much. I know working at a constituency office and even within the DEA, I know for how these services help people in rural areas, and that's something that we try to promote all of the time. So, look, I just want to thank you for your continued great work, and thanks for the presentation this evening.
Your support.
Councillor Finn.
Yeah, just again, thank you both so much. And I don't think I've met either of you, but it's really lovely to hear. And as I suppose everybody is very nicely in agreement this evening that we all know that we'd be lost without the community and voluntary sector. I suppose on that, in terms of the social prescribing, just in terms of, I suppose, getting people more in the know about that, is there anything that you would recommend that we as councillors can do? Because I know it is something within communities people can sometimes feel a bit nervous about, you know, going to a class or things like that. I know certainly, I know people who go to the university at their age, and it was kind of one of those things where it was nervous to go to it, and then the difference that makes within people and that kind of thing. So just how, I suppose, you would say us kind of recommending that for people to help build, I suppose, that sector within communities that we're all working within.
Thanks, Councillor. And give us a shout anytime. There's a whole lot of you are very new, even, and I know some people very well, but through other routes, know how to do a council. But I think there's a new suite of councillors that I certainly don't know enough of you. So shout anytime into Ballymote, and Rosemary and I are sometimes there, and Rosemary's up in Uri half the time, and we're all over the place. I suppose Roisin referred to it there, the multidisciplinary teams that are being rolled out across the country by the Department of Health are a sort of a version of social prescribing. Social prescribing itself was started in the community sector, and there's a bit of a tension between those on occasions. And I think the next couple of years we'll see a merging of the two to try and make it more accessible for people. Sometimes people don't want to talk to a social worker. They see a social worker as something a bit scary or a bit sort of, you know, I'll get into trouble if I talk to them. Whereas if they're talking to their local community group and they know the local support worker or whatever, the local community worker, it's a bit less barriers to it. And that's what we try to sort of paint the picture of social prescribing as being less of a barrier. And we try to use, and again, it has quit. Because of funding, we've actually stopped a lot of it in the last year. And we're trying to get it restarted in the near future. And what we really want to see is a good, solid program budget where you can hire local halls, local club facilities, local sports facilities, and have the likes of are the partners that we have around the table coming to meet people in their own location. And if we can crack all of that, if we get the budget to actually pay for those things, they're not free. There has to be a certain amount of money come across to the community voluntary sector. So I suppose from councillors, keep encouraging the Department of Health and your Health Trust colleagues to involve the community and voluntary groups more and actually don't take them for granted and don't expect it to be done for free. It needs to be paid for as well. You know, it's okay putting money into staff salaries in the health system. They also need to put money into programme costs and overheads in the community and voluntary sector.
Ben, can I just ask? Thank you. You're all right, Councillor Finnegan. You're looking back in again there.
Sorry, just on. Yeah. I don't want to take up anybody's time. I'm just wondering. I think it's a very valid point that you make that we should be lobbying our health minister and our communities minister. I think it's a good point that you make that although yes, it's. You know, funding and budgets needs to go to salaries, but at the end of the day, these social prescribing and everything else that you deliver within the community, even the, on the, I suppose you have to put the community value onto it, and then that saves our health system money in the long run. So I'm wondering, as a council, and you're wondering, as a council, should write off to the two ministers for health and for communities, if everybody was in agreement with that, to lobby for that.
That would be really helpful, Roisin, and Aoife as well. I mean, you wouldn't believe just how timely it might be as well to lobby just on that specific point. The line is to engage for the multidisciplinary teams are going to roll out across the country. They're going to be in the programme for government, I've heard, and they're going to roll out. But so far, the model has almost excluded the community and voluntary sector, which is a big failure. They're saying that now. They recognise that they need to actually put some money into that side of it. It doesn't mean there's any extra money needed. They just need to redivert some of the funding from staff salaries internally in the trust or the health family to programme monies in the community, and then we can all do a lot more for the health system. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And you're happy to second that? Yeah. Councillor Fenn, were you looking to come back in?
Yeah, just in terms of, I suppose it was what Rosemary said about the siloed working, could we also add that we write to the Finance Minister, because I know the budget is coming and it is a really difficult budget, and I know that, but just so that he is copied in on that as well, so that would be okay.
Sorry, every time it's got a corner, sorry. Yeah, that's not a problem. I can't see that in an issue. That in as well. Yeah, no, thank you. I don't see anyone else coming in. Content. But thanks again, Nicholas.
I think it's a great opportunity to showcase and also to learn from you. And at any time, you know, we're only a phone call away if you want to ask questions, see what we're doing. We're always willing. Have a chat.
You might regret offering that room. Thanks very much, folks. Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
Thank you.
Hope you get out and leave it to some chair.
Thank you. Okay, folks, so if we're content, we'll move on to item number 5, which is the DAA forums update. Ali's taking that.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. As I said a minute ago, I will take the report as read unless members have any specific questions they wish to raise.
Thank you, Ali. Councillor McGuinness, you're looking in there?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just in relation to Appendix 1 there. Just off the funding fairs that were held on the 24th of April, it was quite obvious while we attended that there was very little support for the sporting sector and the club sector. So I'm delighted to see that there's a new sports funding info session being organised in the Nurean Dunpatrick area. So it's good to see that. That's on this week by Forsyth Consulting. So it's a great lift to the sporting community because a lot of the time they feel left out in terms of getting information as to how to go about getting funding. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Anna, for that. And can I have a seconder for that item? Councillor Finnegan. Okay, move on to item number 6 then, which is the Community Coordination Hub. And that's yourself, Ali, again.
Chair, and again, I'll take the report as read unless members have any specific issues of which there is.
Thank you, Ali. Councillor Lee Sergner.
Thank you, Chair. Has the council officers been in contact with the executive office in relation to the lack of funding or lack of information for funding for the refugees?
I'll just repeat that again.
Yeah. Has council officers been in contact with the executive office in relation to the lack of information for funding for the asylum seekers / refugees?
Thanks, Chair. So, council officers sit on a number of meetings relating to asylum seekers and refugees at operational level and more strategic level. Obviously, within those meetings, you are seeking to reinforce the need for funding and confirmation of funding and additional funding if it can be found. But we haven't made a formal approach as such because we're still waiting to have the final budget confirmed.
Okay. Can I have a proposer and seconder for that item, please? Proposed by Councillor McGuinness. Seconded by Councillor Lee Sergeant. Okay. So items number 7 to 9 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information on the public levy by resolution, be excluded by these items of business. Can I have a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session, please? Proposed by Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor O'Hare. Okay, thank you. So whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 7, Active and Healthy Communities Service Delivery Partner. It is agreed on a proposal of Councillor Lee Sergener, seconded by Councillor Galbraith, to approve the extension of the current service provider as set out in the report to ensure service delivery. Item 8, Marketing and Design Services. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Lee Sergener, to approve the business case and appoint on the appointment of a supplier via public procurement for marketing and design services for AHC Directorate, as detailed within the report. And item number 9, the multi-sports hub. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Finn, to approve the business case and appointment of an ICT utilising Council's current framework to advance the potential sports hub project, as detailed within the report. Okay, folks, well, thank you. That's this evening's meeting concluded. And that's my last night chairing AHC this year. So just like to thank Andy and Ali and Paul and Sarah and Donna as well, who always keep me right. These have been a great committee to work with. So, and hopefully I'll still be here next month. Thank you, folks.